their structured society. And after having seen the poisons and things that were brought to them in that structured society, they want to go out and destroy that thing. That's wrong. That's devilish. That's not of God. Now, if it's necessary in order to build something to get rid of some former foundations, that's another subject. But if your goal is just to destroy and to hurt, and all you want to do is talk about the badness of some former thing that you were in, you've made a bad mistake. You're on the wrong side. I don't mean to hurt anybody here this morning, but I want to come down kind of hard on this, that you're on the bad side. You're not operating correctly. You've got to see, look, your mama did a lot of good things for you. See? And our purpose is not to destroy mother. There are a lot, the whole purpose of the church is to be pregnant, to bring forth the sons of God. There's a sun-clothed woman standing on the moon, and her whole purpose is to be pregnant, and to bring forth these sons of God. And these sons of God are to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. They get the rod, not the church. But God does have his church in the world to be pregnant, to bring forth these rulers. Now these rulers, according to Peter, are called the lively stones building this thing. And they're produced as cells from the body of the mother. But we wouldn't want to go back and destroy the mother, even though she has no destiny to rule. See, there's where the problem comes. You begin to see that, hey, there's something a whole lot better. There's something on beyond just this household. So, in the desire to go on in this new, better thing, some people turn back on the thing they've come out of and destroy it, and that's wrong. Just leave it alone. That's evil to go back and destroy and just hurt people. Now, if it's necessary at times that you're building another thing later on, and this is what I have to watch for in my own ministry, that I don't build a structure. But have you noticed that when people leave one group and start to build another group, that the new group that they build isn't much better than the one they left? Come on. And the only thing is they're in charge of it instead of somebody else. As far as they're concerned, that makes it better. But hopefully each one of us will hang in there loose. Hang in there, but hang in there loose and not get entangled by the same old spirits that that brought forth our bondage earlier. The fifth trump is the manifestation of the Antichrist. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that day shall not come, speaking of the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now the man of sin, Abaddon Apollyon, destroyer, is revealed at the, say it, fifth trump. He is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not on the earth at the present time. Jesus said, I saw even the devil fall from heaven. How many have noticed there is still an evil influence in the world? Well, if the devil fell from heaven, if the Antichrist is not here, what other part of the devil's trinity is moving around today? Say the evil spirit, but the book of Revelation calls it false prophet. Now let's do that again. God has an opposite. The opposite of God is the devil. Jesus Christ has an opposite. The opposite of Jesus Christ is the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit has an opposite. The opposite of the Holy Spirit is the false prophet. The devil is not active on the earth today. The Antichrist is not active on the earth today. The Bible teaches that the active part of the devil's trinity is the false prophet. Now, this may upset some theologians, and I don't want to get too sticky, but God and Jesus are talking to each other up there. And what is operative here on the earth right now? What? Come on. Holy Spirit of that particular trinity. Now, the word trinity is like the word rapture. It's not biblical, but it's certainly religious. And trinity is... See, I don't... Some of you are aware of the fact that I don't believe in the trinity. I believe in the quartet. soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. See, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the manifestation of God in the body of Christ. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and am sitting in my Father's throne. Therefore, there will be a fourth part of the Godhead that sits in the throne, the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is made of many members, and I'm looking at some of them today. Praise God. You see what I'm talking about? Now, did Jesus call us gods? Did he say, ye are gods? Did he say that? Ye are gods? And the scripture cannot be broken? Well, I've looked you over and you don't look like it. You see, you're not gods in the soul realm. You're not gods in the body realm, but you are gods in the spirit. So as soon as, see, your spirit's perfect, so as soon as you can get your soul right, and the Holy Ghost finished there, then God will work on your body, and then you can be gods in spirit, soul, and body. Then you can be manifest as the Son of God. But until that time, God can't trust you with His glory in His in your body, and you're not ready for manifestation, and you're not ready for the throne with your head on the way it is. So He sent the Holy Ghost to engraft the Word of God into your mind, change your mind, and there you're working out your own salvation in the mind realm, and then you'll be perfect. Now, when this battle takes place at the time of the fifth, I'm sorry, when this manifestation takes place at the time of the fifth trump, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that the false prophet will make everybody worship this Abaddon or Apollyon. Only those whose names are not are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they won't do it, you see, but the others will. But then he brings forth an image of this beast, and the image of this beast is very parallel to the image of Christ. And whereas the image of this beast, the false beast, the Antichrist system, has a head, so the body of Christ also has a head. Now let no man deceive you by any means, for the manifestation of the head of the body of Christ will not occur until first the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin is revealed at the fifth trump. Jesus Christ, or the Christ, will be revealed at the seventh trump. But between, revealed to the world, but between the fifth and the seventh, we have the battle of Armageddon. And in the battle of Armageddon, you've got to have an Antichrist so you can beat up on him. That makes sense, right? You see, you have to have the manifestation of the Antichrist so you can have this battle. And in God's goodness, He doesn't manifest Him until just before the battle. I'm glad for that. But the manifestation of the devil's trinity that's in the world today is the, say it, false prophet. And the manifestation of the godly trinity that's in the world today is the Holy Spirit. And they're working in a certain section of humanity. Spirit, soul, or body? Mind. We're fighting against principalities and powers in high places. Mind realm. It's a war for your what? Mind. And this war going on the mind right now. Now, the battle of Armageddon will take place, and I assume it will be in Armageddon or at Jerusalem. But I'm not looking for a literal battle here among these people. I'm looking for a soul-mind battle, because this is spiritual Israel, and these people are going to go through the battle as well. Assuming you win the battle, and I am assuming you'll win, you'll be ready for the seventh trump. At the seventh trump, then the kingdoms of this, of God, are become the kingdoms, or the kingdoms of the world, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He'll reign for ever and ever. Now, the first woe, if you you look at the chart carefully, you'll notice on the left the seals, and under the seals, the trumps. On the right, you'll find the angel messengers, and under the angel messengers, the golden vials. This was taken from a book, the very first book we ever published many, many years ago. Many years ago, we sent for 1,000 of the little booklet on Revelation put out by the American Bible Society, and we put a 8-page insert in the middle of it. Thank you. And this is one of the pages. The Battle of Jehoshaphat, we give you a whole lot of scriptures for it, Joel 3, Amos 9, Obadiah 21, 1 Timothy 4, James and Isaiah, all those scriptures have to do with the Battle of Jehoshaphat. I'm not going to take all those scriptures, but the point I want to get at is that at the end of the seventh trump, after the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, it leads us into a period called the millennium. How many have heard of the millennium? Shangri-La, Utopia, everything's fine. This 1,000-year period may not be 1,000 years, because if it's literally 1,000 years, it's the first time that any number in the book of Revelation is literal. So, for those of you who want a 1,000-year millennium, if at the end of 1,000 years you find things are still going good, will it make you mad? You're going to go ring, go to God's doorbell and press the button and say, "Hey, God, I thought you were supposed to bring some bad things at the end of the 1,000. So if the millennium is a literal 1,000, the way we count years now, that's all right with me. But if it's a lot longer, that's all right with me too. Okay? But at the end of that period, the Bible says that God is going to release the devil. At the end of the 1,000 years, right at this point on the chart, God is going to release the devil. What happened to the devil to be released? Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning." Is that what he said? Up here at the beginning of the church age. First seal. The Antichrist, I don't know when he got to the bottomless pit. Scripture's not clear on that. But is released from the bottomless pit at the fifth trump. At the seventh trump, the Bible says, now watch this carefully. At the seventh trump, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and the opposite of Jesus and the Holy Ghost, are thrown in the lake that burns with fire. This is an annihilation. You never hear from anything again that's thrown in the lake that burns with fire. So the Antichrist and the false prophet, they are removed entirely and eternally from the scene at the seventh trump. But at that time, the devil is not annihilated. The devil is placed in a separate place. Does anybody remember? The bottomless pit, where the Antichrist had been. The Antichrist comes out of the bottomless pit of the fifth trump. The pit's empty from the fifth to the seventh. Then at the seventh, God takes the devil and places him in the bottomless pit and puts a seal over it again. Now when he seals it up again, it's sealed for at least 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, the devil has no play on the earth. The Antichrist and the false prophet are not here. They're in annihilation and never to be heard from again. But at the end of the 1,000 years, and I don't know why, just all I know is it says it, the devil will be released again. to get Gog and Magog for the third great war, as far as we're concerned, of the future, the battle of the beloved city. This is the last and final battle, and at the end of that battle, all, A-double-L, every evil, every death, everything that has anything to do with evil, death, destruction, that is in itself destroyed. Do you remember in Isaiah that it does tell us that during the millennium, a child that's 100 years of age could die? You remember all that? There will be some strange things during the millennium when a person dies in California, perhaps in San Diego, or we'll call it San Diego. If someone dies in San Diego, the New York newspapers will carry the headlines. Have you got the idea here? It'll be national news, international news. Somebody died in Tokyo. Oh, no. Even during the millennium. Now, the reason for that is that during the millennium, the people will be ruled over or reigned over with a rod of iron, and these people, some of them will be born and never give their hearts to Jesus. And in fact, two-thirds of all the soldiers, and we'll call them the non-Christians, one-third will be killed and two-thirds left with their women and children and grandpas to go in the millennium as non-Christians. Now, when they enter the millennium as non-Christians, not having given their heart to Jesus, but all evil is removed from their lives, their influence, the devil is gone, he's in the bottomless pit, the Antichrist and the false prophet are gone, they're in the lake that burns with fire. So these fellows will not have any evil ideas and influences and pressures and concepts to work with. Now they'll be ruled, and it tells us that the body of Christ rules them with a rod of iron. This is a very, can I say, forceful rule, but not necessarily rough rule. You might get the idea of a rod of iron is, beating with a rod of iron would be terrible. You wouldn't even last it. But the rod of iron means an unbreakable rule. You follow the symbology, an unbreakable rule. The body of Christ will be operating in this realm. But it does appear to me, and I don't understand how, but there somehow, once in a while, one will slip out. Like in our own families, somebody does slip out every once in a while and gets away from that protecting rule that's going to get them through the thing, and like every lost sheep, goes its own way, and once in a while somebody will fall over a cliff when they've got away from that rod of iron that God gave for their protection. Now, am I making sense on this concept, you see? So those guys will have to go that way. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, it does appear that God in His goodness, and I know this sounds hard, but God in His goodness will release the devil again. This time to give the opportunity to those who have been born during this 1,000 years and lived during that time to deal with evil and good. For they haven't had that chance yet. And they don't know which way they will take. Some made of firm stuff will choose the good. Others made of weak fiber will choose the evil. It's just, something about different people. And so those who choose to join up with Gog and Magog come down with the devil for the battle of the great, the beloved city, and those who have, learned their lesson through the rod of iron and so forth, and will choose good. There are those who feel like they can almost predict who will choose evil and good. I can't. I haven't figured out a rule to find out how you were born or how your environment was or something to tell whether you're going to be good or bad. On that subject, I think I should tell you that just because a person has a gift of the Holy Ghost doesn't make them good. And piety is not measured by your gifts. Piety is measured by your fruits. The fruit comes from abiding in the vine. The gift comes because of the goodness of God. And even though people are gifted and have gifted ministries, it has nothing to do with their piety. There were certain ministries a few years ago who had great gifts of healings but had very little in piety or sanctity or saintliness. Does anybody understand what I just said? Some people rejected their ministry because of their lack of saintliness, and that's a mistake. God gave the gift of healing. And even though that guy had a five-pole tent and at times was seen drunken, nonetheless, if he had the gift of healing and I was sick, I'd go. Because the gift has nothing to do with his saintliness. The gift has to do with the goodness of God. And a lot of us would not partake of ministries because they didn't measure up to our sanctification standards. But as we're learning and growing up, we're finding out the best thing to do is to participate wherever God has given a gift and look for the best gifts, which are love, and then, of course, look for the fruits of the Spirit which come from abiding in the vines as we're maturing. Am I making sense to anybody here? So I think that it's wise if you find a fellow who's not necessarily saintly but does have a gift, then you would participate in that gift when you need it. Someone said, well, what's the best gift? Well, you can look at the list of gifts. There are 9 gifts, maybe 10, the 10th being love. Because love is listed in the gifts and it's also listed in the fruits, agape love. But, as far as I can tell, the best gift is the one you need at the time. What good is prophecy when it hurts? You know what I meant by that? What good is prophecy when you got a hitch and you get along? You got bursitis or something like that. And who wants a prophet that day? You want a healer that day. Now, you don't want a healer when you're juggling your bank account. You want a prophet. Come on, that makes sense, right? And so the best gift is the one that you need at the time. And I wouldn't try to lift any of them one above the other. Tongues and interpretation. Seems like tongues, that gift, the gift of tongues, is perhaps the most widely acclaimed at the moment, but it's probably not necessarily the one that's most universally needed. Come on now. And I'm not putting tongues down, and some of you know that I participate, but I'm a little like Paul, who said, I wouldn't put baptism down, but you can't find very many that I've baptized. Remember that? And so to me, tongues is a very important gift, but to me it's not the main thing. That's not my ministry to push tongues, even though many years ago it was my ministry to push tongues when I was the president of the Full Gospel and all that kind of thing, but I think we'll be on that now. Now, at the time of the fifth trump, you pray that I'll keep all this stuff in order, because it's getting hard. At the time of the fifth trump, we're ready for the first woe. If we're not having enough trouble already with seals and angels and vials and trumps, now we got woes, and there are 3 woes. The first woe is at the fifth trump. The second woe is at the sixth trump, and the third woe is at the seventh trump. Now, at the fifth trump, the woman, the harlot woman, Mistress Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abomination of the earth, rides the beast. Now, I drew a picture, and it didn't look anywhere near like that one. This is Larry's idea of what the woman in the looks like when she's riding the beast. The beast got 7 heads, 10 horns, and his crowns are on his horns, not heads. Now, the first beast, his crowns were on his heads, not horns. This is the Antichrist. Now, the woman is manifest by the love of money, the root of all evil. And she rides that beast and uses that beast, and the kings of the earth commit fornication with a woman, the love of money, which is the root of all evil, and she uses war prophet motive, and drinks the blood of martyrs, and using the blood of martyrs as her wine, drinks the blood of martyrs to get her kicks. This is what I call central banks. And I'm not mad at bankers. And in fact, I have friends that own banks, but the central banks are owned by a family of Europe. What's the name of that family? Rothschilds. Now, the Rothschilds make their money off of the blood of martyrs or war systems. And they loan to both sides of the war so that when it's over, they win no matter who wins. And we've been through that a lot in various other tapes and teachings. But it tells us in Revelation, especially chapter 18, that the beast, and the beast with the ten horns is the industrial military complex. And that, I'm not mad at industry, and I'm not mad at soldiers and sailors. We need them both. But any industry that depends for war, for its continuance, I don't like that industry. Whether I'm coming across or not. In other words, if you got a factory and all it can produce is tanks, and you have to have war to keep people busy, I would prefer to lay them off. So that kind of industrial military complex turns on a woman and reveals who this woman is and destroys her and burns her flesh with fire. Do you remember all that in the book of Revelation? Now, I thought for a long time that it would be the body of Christ that's going to reveal the Rothschild conspiracy and set up a new monetary system. Until just recently, I saw in the Bible, it's not the body of Christ that reveals the woman, it's the Pentagon. And the Pentagon, though it is a destroyer itself, will destroy that woman that makes the Pentagon Gyllenhaal. For she has set up this monetary system that puts a car in every garage, chicken in every pot, and brings prosperity to a nation at war. In Indianapolis, in the 1940s, early 40s, my wife Betty was on a streetcar, and a lady was talking about how she was enjoying her prosperity due to the war. And she was saying, in a sense, she was certainly happy for the war because now she could work, now she was on overtime and making a lot of money, and things were much better in her life. Whereupon, a lady on the streetcar jumped up and slapped her right across the face and said, "My son was killed yesterday in the war." Now, am I getting the point across? You know, what's the price for that prosperity? Who wants to pay a price like that for your extra car? I don't know how it ended up, but I don't think that there was a fight. I think there was a one slap and that stopped it. Because I'm sure that that would shut anybody up. With a comeback like that, that really stops it. I don't think that, I'm positive that if I had the opportunity to sacrifice my son so that every one of you could have a car, you wouldn't have a car. Is anybody mad at me for that? No, I'm not ready for that. I'm not that magnanimous. No, I'm not ready. I wouldn't sacrifice anybody's son so that all the people in the United States could have a car and a chicken. It's not worth it. But she drinks the blood of the martyrs, and the military men are swiftly determining, now especially since the hat salesman from Missouri was talking to one of the greatest military generals of all and said, you can only go so far. And he drew a line and said, you can go this far, not farther. And he said, look, I was trained in West Point to win the war. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? The MacArthur-Truman thing. Now, since that MacArthur-Truman thing, most of the military men have now discovered that the purpose of the military is not to win wars, but to protect economic interests. And that was the first time that it really came out in such a forceful, obvious, public way. So we went to Korea after that, we went to Vietnam after that, and we discovered that the purpose of our military was not to win wars. It was there to protect economy, not ideology. Somebody give me a nod if you understand what I'm talking about. So now, how would you like it if you've been trained all your life as a soldier or sailor to win wars, and you found out that riding your back was a harlot woman with whom the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, have all committed fornication, and they were using you and your blood to supply her hunger, life, greed, lust. Well, what would you do after you've made this discovery? Get her in the neck, you know. And so that's what they've done, according to the Bible. And the military system will overthrow this woman. The first woe. The sixth trump, or the second woe, is when the military system is destroyed. And the last battle, the Battle of Armageddon, takes place, and that ends the military system. At the seventh trump, we're now ready for the bride's reward, the feast of Earth's reward, and the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and then everything is subdued. Now, the Antichrist takes over first commerce, then governments, then theology. The body of Christ takes over first theology, then governments, then commerce. The Antichrist takes over first commerce, then governments, then theology. The body of Christ takes over first theology, then governments, then commerce. Then, finally, the kingdoms of this earth, that means the commercial kingdoms, IBM, General Electric, everything becomes the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Are you seeing this? Even DuPont. I'm just doing this to different guys I look at right now. See, they can't believe it. Now, how many were taught that the Antichrist is going to be the Pope? Come on. Don't you look for the Antichrist on the papal throne. Uh-uh. First commerce, then government, finally theology. Now, at this stage, the Pope is not the Antichrist. This might be upsetting to some of you Protestants, but it's first commerce, then government, then theology, and it'll be the last step when he takes over theology. So quit looking at the Pope right now. The Pope can help the Protestants if you would understand what's going on in the ways of God. And so don't you... We'll put a big flap right there. See, it's impossible for a pope to be an antichrist. Now, the pope might be a false Christ. That's possible. But never an antichrist. See, there's a difference between a false Christ and an antichrist. An antichrist is against the anointing, but a false Christ comes on with anointing in a lying way. Doing things in the name of God and theology, but not. But the antichrist is against it entirely. All right, I'm going to quit now because it's so close to 12, and I've got my main points out. Father, in Jesus' name, we do trust you because you're good. We've been seeing some things about wars and some things about trouble and some things about devils and antichrists and false prophets, but we can also see some good things about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And even though there's a manifestation of the antichrist, there's a manifestation of the Jesus Christ. We trust you, Lord, that we'll not major on the minors, that we'll not stay here fooling around with all this kind of stuff. But we realize, Lord, that it's necessary to know it and understand it, so we'll follow the pattern you're setting and not resist it. We pray, Lord, that we'll have the deliverance, the salvation that you promised. We ask for it. Many are called, the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We call on the name of the Lord right now. We ask for deliverance. And now we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be delivered and saved and preserved blameless unto the coming of the Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School.